We are commanded to be conformed to the image of Christ. But how do we know what we need to actually do in order to make us look more like Christ? What should a life that's characterized by being in the image of Christ, what does a life like that even look like? Well, this is what we're going to talk about today. We are going to talk about the virtuous path, the highway of the righteous, that helps us to look more like Christ. I hope you'll join me. Welcome to A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. We know that in the hectic hurry of everyday life, it's easy to lose sight of what really matters. This is a moment to pause and realign your focus on the one who gives us peace and rest. We're focusing on discipleship, productivity, and homemaking as we live with eternity in mind. This is the place where you'll learn to create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. I'm Casey Fletcher. Thanks so much for joining me. Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 31 of season one of A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. I am so excited that you're here with me this week, and I am so excited that we're just trucking along with each episode, and every week I am just, kind of blown away by some of the things that I'm learning, some of the things that I'm growing in, and I hope that these are helpful to you. I know for me, this whole process has been almost like a sanctification process as I've dived in to these different topics that I've been having on the podcast. And I'm sure it's true, with everything, that if you teach these things, then you learn them better than even your students do. And so I really hope that as you're listening to this, you really pause, because for me, as I've gone through this process, I'm working right now. We just did an episode on my statement of faith. I haven't actually finished writing out my full statement of faith. You can listen to the last episode about why I actually don't just copy and paste, my church's statement of faith, why I try to work through these things myself. But what I'm doing as I'm going through this process is I am starting with the first step of creating my statement of faith, and I am working through that. And then now, the next step in that process of our method of Christian living, we start with creating a statement of faith. We need to know what we believe. But then as we move on and we try to create this method of Christian living, the next step in this process is we have to figure out what that life looks like. And that's what we're going to do today. Now, whenever I was first kind of conceptualizing this and trying to figure it out, what I did is I started with just the statement of faith, and then I jumped to the principles, which we'll talk about in the next episode. And these principles were inspired, by Charlotte Mason's principles. And again, these were these flexible ideas that could impact every area of our lives, that were true and general, universal. And what I realized is you can't really jump to the principles yet. You have your statement of faith, and these are the doctrinal beliefs. These are the beliefs that you use for teaching, for edifying, that help you to understand your theology, what you believe about God and about all of those other doctrines that we talked about, the Holy Spirit, church, all those things. But then I think if you just jumped into the principles, you would have a very lopsided view of everything that you would need to do in your principles, because you aren't really looking at some of the things God has commanded us to do. And so that's what we're going to look at today. And again, what we're doing is we're thinking about what a life, a Christian life, what that life looks like. How do you characterize a Christian life? So what we're doing is we're thinking about our values, our Christian values, and we're thinking about how we base our lives on these values. Now, this is kind of cliche, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, this idea of Christian values. And so I'll tell you why, but I'm just going to go ahead and give you this word so you can kind of mull on this for just a little bit. But as we go through this, I'm not just going to use the word values. Many places, like businesses and stuff, they talk about, creating value-based principles and having value-based goals. And we even really talk about that as we talk about our habits. We create our habits and our goals based on our aspirations, which is just another term for values. But in terms of the Christian life, it's not just our values. We base our life on virtues. And these virtues are totally different, I think, than values. But this really sets us apart from a normal modern lifestyle. Virtues are very different. And we'll talk about this in just a minute. But remember, as we go through this, the reason why we're doing all of this groundwork is you can think of this as the foundations of your Christian life. You have your beliefs, and then you learn what is good, true, and beautiful about those beliefs. And these are those virtues that you can get from the Bible and from the world around you, and you put them in yourself. And then as these things shine through, you are transformed more into the image of Christ, and you show other people who Christ is from the virtues that are inside you. And so that's really what we're going to be talking about today. And specifically, we're going to be looking at how to create that list of core Christian virtues. What does a virtuous life even mean? And the reason why this is so important is because virtues are something that have been tossed aside by modern culture. I actually just got finished at a great conference. I would recommend this conference to anybody, or convention to anybody, but it was a great homeschool convention. And so I went to that, and they have all the different methods, you know, Charlotte Mason inspired stuff. They have some nature-based things. They have, you know, other ones that are just trying to get you thinking about what it even means to homeschool. So kind of like a homeschool 101. But then they have a lot of stuff with the classical track, and I hadn't really learned much about them. But one of the things about the classical education system is that in classical education, one of the things that they encourage you to do is you are being educated in order to be this virtuous person. And so for thousands of years, the whole point of education was your character and your virtue. But if you ask any teacher today about what the point of education is, that is not what they would say. They may say citizenship, but that's very different. To be a citizen of a country is very different than education for character and virtue. A citizen is more being like a cog in the machine, making sure you can follow orders and follow authority. That's very different than character and virtue. And so I just think that for us, this idea of virtue, it almost sounds kind of antiquated. It's something that we don't even think that we need to prioritize. And so we're really going to look at this today. So as I said, any of the resources that you mentioned, I am creating these and posting them on the blog at amorebeautifullifecollective.com/AMBL shop. You can find the We Believe workbook, which is our workbook that goes through creating your personal statement of faith. And then you can also find the workbook for today called The Highway of the Upright, creating a list of core Christian virtues. And so that will walk you through the process of what we're talking about today. And there's a couple others for the future episodes. I'm also working on, it's not posted yet, but it will be in the future. If you want to do something that is more the We Believe workbook doesn't tell you what to believe on any of the core doctrines. And so it really asks you to do a lot of the research. If you want something that kind of walks you through the process of creating your statement of faith, but gives you a little bit more of a different style, kind of more direction in that, I am working on a systematic theology booklet. But obviously, if I'm creating it, my theology is going to come through. And so just recognize that one is more you do the research, and the one that I am working on now is going to have my own personal biases about theology and doctrine in that workbook. And so I'll let you know whenever that's finished, but that is in the works, and that will also be on the shop. If you enjoy this podcast, be sure to leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. This helps others find the show. And if you think what we're talking about today is interesting, please just send that show along to them. And then that way we can grow our audience for the show. All right, so let's talk about this for just a little bit. This question of why isn't our statement of faith enough to develop a method for Christian living? You know, I'm talking about all these other steps. And the first step is to create your statement of faith. So why couldn't we just stop there? If we're a people of faith, shouldn't it be enough if we just say, Jesus is Lord? Isn't that enough? And Romans 10, 9 through 10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So if all that it takes for us to be saved is to believe in God, then why do we need to do anything further? Why can't we just create a statement of faith, say, okay, Jesus is Lord, I believe that, and we just call it a day? Done. Well, we know that that really isn't enough. And again, if you've studied scripture at any length, you'll figure that out. In James 2, 18 through 19, it says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So having the right doctrine is incredibly important, but it's not enough. It's just the foundation. It's the spiritual milk. It's the foundation of your belief. And the foundation is just the beginning. You have to keep on building the house. Nobody wants to live in the foundation. I had one of my old family, you know, we live on land that was my family's land. And so my great grandmother's house is here. And there is still kind of remnants of some of the foundation of her house. And you can still see like the front porch, the house burned down. And you can see all that stuff. But I wouldn't want to live out with just the foundation of a house. Because if you don't have the walls, if you don't have the roof, it's not going to be a pleasant place to live in. The foundation is just the beginning. All of the other work comes after the foundation. So we have to figure out how to live after we know and have declared what we believe. Romans 8:29 says, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." So like I said, what we are supposed to be doing is being conformed to the image of Christ. So we want to become more like Jesus. We want to be holy. We want to be filled with goodness. We want to be righteous, filled with godliness. And so to do that, we need to pursue this holy living. And the Bible is all about this pursuit of holy living. We are a set apart people because we are God's people. And so we should be a holy people because we are God's people. We can't just stop at creating a statement of faith because that will not get us to that point of being that holy set apart people, because holiness requires us to do certain things. It's the whole reason why God didn't just say, okay, now you are my people. And if you say, hey, I'm God's people, you're good. No, as he took them out of Egypt, he gave them an entire law that they had to follow that showed that they are a holy set apart people. And we have a different code, a different covenant that we must follow, but we still have a covenant that we must follow, that we have certain agreements that we enter into whenever we decide that we are going to be a follower of Jesus. In Ephesians 4:22 through 24, it says, "We put off our old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And we want to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, putting on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." So what we're thinking about today is, how do we live that holy life? What virtues do we need to put on so we can leave that old self behind? And so this is how, what we're going to do today. And this is a crucial step in creating this method of Christian living. So let's go back to this word of virtues. Why am I using this word virtues? In modern culture, values are very important. People, I read a book, Essentialism, which is a great, you know, kind of self-help business book. And the whole thing he talked about there is, how do you determine your values to determine what's most important? If you're in any kind of business setting, we talk about this with even the school system, you always talk about these values that you're supposed to have that determine what you want to do. Why do we need to use this word virtues? So core values, you know, they're these like one word descriptions. So you think of a core value, you know, it's like honesty. And then you have the principle for honesty would be like, I will tell the truth, even if it makes me uncomfortable. But as we look at this, I think we'll find that the better word that we need to use, like I've said, is Christian virtues. And the reason why is this: values kind of denote an opinion. So that if even if we're both Christians, I can have different values than you. One of the things that I do is a 1,000 hours outside. If you have never followed that group and you have kids, you should. The podcast is amazing and it will teach you so many things about the world and modern culture, especially modern like agriculture, the way that technology affects our brains, all those things. And so the thing about this, though, is that the 1,000 outside hours outside community really values being outside and being in nature. And kind of a deplugged lifestyle. Obviously, they're not completely unplugged, but they just try to limit that. And so that's a value too, that limiting technology. Now, if I asked you, is that a Christian virtue to limit your technology? Well, you might be like, yeah, maybe. But the thing is it's not in the Bible. And so we can have different values as Christians, but it's really based on our opinion. And our opinions are informed by so many different things. Whether we think that video games are fun or useful, whether we think that being outside is nice or not, is it restful or not for us, whether we live in a place where we could go outside often or if it's a big deal to go outside. You know, here, you know, I live out in the country and so I can walk outside and I'm in a really beautiful place. But if you lived in the middle of the city, you might feel differently because you might have to load up your kids and then walk because you don't have access to a car to the closest park, and maybe there's people there that you don't want to see. And so you could see how values, if we just talk about Christian values, it can really create division in the body of Christ, because we might value things that aren't necessarily moral virtues that we find in the Bible. And I see this in some of the dissension that we see as far as politics go, because we value different things. And normally, if I say Christian values, it's going to bring to your mind probably like a conservative evangelical value, just if you're in like the American political arena. Christian values is kind of attached to that. And so because of that, some of those values, good Christian values, are not anything that you find in the Bible. They're just something that culture has told us this is what's important. And so I think that's why we really need to get away from this, because values, again, are opinion-based, but virtues are not. Whenever we look at the word virtues, virtues means that it is a way of saying a moral excellence. And really all of philosophy and education, again, from the ancient Greeks up until John Dewey, really, in the early 1900s, it was all about walking on this virtuous path, being a good person, being a virtuous person. And they tried to figure out what that meant. And so we want to pursue moral excellence in our lives. We want somebody to look at us and say, yes, of course they are morally excellent, because they're a Christian, because they love God, and they're trying to be in the image of Christ. And who is more morally excellent than Christ? So Proverbs 16:17 says, "The path of the virtuous leads away from evil. Whoever follows that path is safe." When we move our focus to defining not just what we care about, what we want to prioritize, and instead shift our focus to developing these biblical virtues in our life, we're going to stop being blown and tossed by our feelings, who we're listening to, who we're surrounded by, who we follow on Instagram. And instead, we are going to have a Bible-based method for Christian living, because those virtues are going to define the principles that guide our life. Some values that I hear a lot are, you know, health, success, innovation, equality. These are values of the world. But I would say that these are not things that the Bible prioritizes. Yes, you could say, okay, we're all made in the image of God, and so we're going to innovate in some regard because we're co-creators with Him. Okay, I'll give you that. Success, maybe. But most of these that I've just mentioned, these are cultural values, American cultural values, modern cultural values. And again, they're not biblical virtues. And so we need to shift our focus away from these values that we see emphasized in the world to the virtues we find in the Bible. So that brings up the point. Okay, well, that's all well and good, but then how do I actually figure out what these virtues are? What should I follow? What Christian virtues should I have in my life? And so you might have a couple that automatically come to mind. It could be things like love, peace, faith. And yes, I agree. I think that those are and can be Christian virtues. But how can we go from this idea of like amorphous, you know, these high ideals, to a set of virtues that we can actually base our life on? And so to create this list, this is the process that I would go through. The first thing that I would do is I would look throughout the whole Bible, and I would try to, from different sections of the Bible, create a list for each section of the Bible that these, where we could find these core virtues. So I create a list of core virtues from each part of the Bible. And then I would see if there's a pattern of virtues that are repeated across Scripture. So throughout Scripture, not something that I'm finding from like one verse that I want to hold on to, but instead something that I would see across Scripture. And then after that, I would narrow down these virtues and I would pick the best ones, the ones that I really see in Scripture that really sum up Scripture. And again, you might find some have kind of synonyms, but you want to pick the most descriptive one. And then I would flesh out these virtues. So I would figure out exactly what a life that looks like that means. And so let's go through each of these processes. So the first step, again, what I said I would do is I would go through each section of Scripture and I would find a list of virtues from that specific section. And the reason why I would do this is because I think as you look throughout scripture, you can feel like you're reading different books, right? Instead of it being just like, well, obviously, it's because there's 66 books in the Bible. So yes, you are reading different books. But really, it seems like, okay, there's these different sections, these genres. And so, you know, if you read the law, you feel like you're reading a different thing than if you read the Gospels. And that's normal because you are. But I think if we can see in the law, okay, what are some virtues that we find? What I think you'll find is that the virtues that you find in the law also show up in the Gospels and in the books of history and in the prophets and in the epistles. You'll see that there is a pattern where these things show up again and again and again. But again, I think if you said, okay, I'm going to make a list of Christian virtues and you just start brainstorming what first pops in your head, it's going to be whatever you read the most recently, or you might lean towards certain things. Yes, some people lean towards the Old Testament, but I think most of us would either lean towards the Gospels or, you know, the epistles, mainly Paul's writings. And so whatever virtues list you would come up with is going to lean towards whoever you like the best. But we want it to be across scripture. And so I think that's why it's so important to look at these different sections. Now, the sections and the things that I would recommend that you pull a list from is looking at the law, the prophets, Jesus's teachings, and the epistles. And each time I think of the epistles, really I think of the work of the Spirit. So I kind of lump Acts in with that, and I look at how the Spirit works in us in the context of the writings of the epistles. And so you could look at various sections of the scripture, again, on the at amoreBeautifulLifeCollective.com/AMBL shop. So at the shop, I have a workbook that goes through this that gives you a list of certain scriptures that you can look through. Some of the ones that you could do just off the top of my head, but again, you could look at other scriptures definitely, or if you are a Bible scholar, you might already have, you know, if I say the law, what are some virtues that you find in the law? You might be like, holiness. And that's, yes, that is, that's good. Sacrifice, things like that. You might already have them, but that just depends on your knowledge of scripture. And so if you feel like, oh, well, I don't know what the prophets say, here are some ideas of things you could study. So in the law, I would recommend looking through the Ten Commandments. And then if you look at the Ten Commandments, some of the commands, just in case you need a refresh, it says, you shall have no other gods before me. You should not make idols. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder, commit adultery, steal, bear false witness against your neighbor, or covet. Okay, so that's the Ten Commandments. Then if you look at the prophets, so that would be the next section. There's one that I really like in Isaiah 1. But again, you could look at any other section of the prophets. But this is just one that I think kind of summarizes different commands that we find and virtues that we find in the prophets. And it says, wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. So again, we start to see, even in just these two sections, some of these threads of scripture. You could even lump in with the law, Leviticus 19, which again goes into this idea of defending the cause of the fatherless and some of this justice that we find. Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. It's this idea of holiness, and holiness relates to idolatry, making sure that you are keeping yourselves clean before God, to stop doing wrong. Again, that lumps in all of these different commands. So you start to see this pattern where, again, if you studied scripture a lot, you recognize this. But if you have only gotten a piecemeal approach to scripture, you might say, well, how are these things all related? But you start to see how even the commands that we find, they all are related and they're all coherent. They are all a whole. They have integrity. And that is so important for our understanding of scripture, to recognize that. In the New Testament, we can look at Jesus's teachings. And the Sermon on the Mount is a great example. So in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who mourn, that hunger and thirst after justice. There's that justice word again. That are merciful, clean of heart. Okay, we get this washing and then we have clean of heart. Peacemakers who suffer persecution for justice's sake. So you see that we're getting this pattern of these virtues in these sections. And then you get to the fruit of the Spirit. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So all of these, you could start to see how they start to relate to one another. Now, as you look at this list, you might say. Well, some of these things are commands, and some are traits, and some are fruits. Are these the same thing? Are they the same thing as virtues? Should I lump those all in together? And what I would say is, you know, the Bible is not given to us. People always like to hold it up and say, this is your manual for living. And it is. But you have to remember how that manual is written. It's written in tons of different genres. Again, 66 books with different authors. They're written to specific people. So you have to remember, like, I mean, all of them, they have a specific audience. And many of the authors, they're divinely inspired, but their audience was particular people. So yes, they speak to us today, but whenever they were written for a specific purpose and a specific people, looking at like the epistles, the histories, all of these things, the law. And so as we look through these things, you know, the Bible, it doesn't give us this list of virtues where it's like, if you check off this list, you're going to be great. No, it gives us proverbs and stories and psalms and other historical artifacts. And so as we look through all of these things, we have to figure out the way we should live through the study of these things. And so, yes, they're all of the above. They're commands and they're fruit of the Spirit. There are different traits that we should have, but we have to understand that it guides us to these certain virtues that we have if we see that throughout Scripture there's a pattern of these things being held up, being deemed morally excellent, being deemed righteous. In these four places, like I said, we see patterns of this develop. We see this pattern of selflessness is mentioned and self-control. Humility and meekness is mentioned again and again. The way that we should seek other people's well-being more than our own. This selflessness is repeated in other areas. So as you start to look through this list, if you're like, well, yeah, that reminds me of another scripture I know, then you know that this is probably a virtue that you should add to your list, especially if you start to think of other scriptures and other stories. So this idea of selflessness and sacrifice obviously reminds you of Jesus on the cross. So you start to see how these things create patterns that reinforce the virtues that we should make the center of our life. Now, as you look at this, you might start to think, well, I could have a list of 100 virtues. How could I narrow it down? Why should I narrow it down? What I would recommend is that you really, if you want to have a list of virtues that you base your life on, I'd recommend that you would try to narrow it to, you know, 10 or 15. And the reason why is this, the same thing with your statement of faith. Yes, your statement of faith could explode as you talk about, you know, the age of creation and what you believe about the dinosaurs and all these different things. But you want to narrow it so that you remember all of these things. You could write, you know, books, journal entries, all these other things about these other things that you think are important to the Christian life. But you got to think about, you're like teaching it to yourself, or if you had kids, I mean, you could teach it to your kids, but this narrow list of Christian virtues will help you to remember what's important, especially when the going gets rough. Again, the idea of, you know, your winter seasons where you're clinging to truth when everything's going bad in the chaos, your Christian virtues, you want a narrow list so you can remember those things in the chaos of life. And so again, you want to narrow your list, and I would recommend around 15, so between 10 and 20 virtues. And a lot of these virtues you'll find, like humility and meekness, I think they kind of relate. And so you could have nuances as you flesh out your virtues, but those things relate to one another. Selflessness and sacrifice could also relate to one another. So you'll start to see that, yes, your list is narrow, but you're not limiting the meaning. You're trying to expand the meaning of those specific ones. It's the same thing we do with poetry, where poetry, yes, it's smaller than like a big novel, but in that small piece of text, because it is so limited, you have to really think deeply about the meaning, and you could write books and books about some of the poems that are out there. The ancients of the past, they recognized this tension between this massive list of Christian virtues and the purpose that of these virtues for teaching and for application to your life. And so in the early monastic era of Christianity, they tried to put together a list of Christian virtues. And so I think most of us are actually more familiar with the seven deadly sins. And so those sins are pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and sloth. And so what they did is they wanted, so they had these seven deadly sins, and so they wanted a foil, which just means the opposite of those sins. And so they created the list of the seven heavenly virtues. And so those virtues are chastity, temperance, charity, diligence, patience, kindness, and humility. Now, these were kind of developed a little bit later on. The Greeks also had their own list of virtues, and those were prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. And so the earlier list had those four cardinal virtues with faith, hope, and charity. So those could also end up on your list. But again, what you would want to do is you would want to figure out, okay, which of these are biblically based that I could apply to my life that have these references. So you could use the ancients list. That's totally fine if you think that those are the best virtues that you can find on that list. So, you know, other biblical virtues, one thing that I've been thinking about a lot is this idea of stewardship. I think that is definitely a biblical virtue that we find over and over again. Service, compassion, we mentioned justice, you could talk about creativity. So again, it's these things that you see repeated over and over again. Now, what you should do as you narrow down your list is you should just think about patterns that you see. So one way that you could eliminate ones is if you only find them in like one specific spot in scripture, I would eliminate that from your list. You want it to be repeated over and over again in scripture. Also, think about other passages that can support them. So again, if it only appears maybe in one section, again, if you can't think of 3 to 5 other scripture references that support that, you might want to pick a different list. Google is great because you can just say, hey, what are scriptures about creativity? And then you could see if there are more scriptures that reference that virtue. Now, with a narrow list of Christian virtues, then you have to ask yourself the question of like, okay, well, if I only have this list of 10 to 15, are these the only virtues that exist in the Bible? And the answer obviously is no. Like, just like we said, we could make a list of 100 virtues. It doesn't mean that the other virtues don't exist. It just means that what you have limited, these are the virtues that you want to base your life on. This is for you to create your principles. And so, yes, other virtues are listed in the Bible. Those seven heavenly virtues, obviously other ones were in the Bible, but they had created a list for teaching. So if you would like to go deeper into your study, so you are, this has kind of piqued your interest, you want to think more deeply. You know, I always listen to these podcasts and they go over these scriptures. And really, I feel like, you know, you get some of it, but to really go deep, you need to print out those pages, write this stuff down, open up your Bible, do some deep study. Maybe think about some of those meanings of scriptures, maybe write out some of those scripture references. You can do that by heading over to the shop, like I mentioned, and downloading The Highway of the Upright, creating a list of Christian virtues to base your life on. And so you can find that at the shop at amorebeautifullifecollective.com/AMBL shop. I hope that this has been helpful to you. Again, if you want to go deeper in your study of virtues, you could do that. One of the things that we do in that workbook is we define the virtues that we've created and identify synonyms to help us understand their meaning. We find other scripture references for that virtue. And then we also ask ourselves two questions. We want to figure out what God is trying to teach us about this virtue. So what does this virtue look like as taught in the Bible or talked about in the Bible? And then what a life that exemplifies this virtue looks like. And so I think those are two important questions that you need to ask yourself. If your virtue is sacrifice or selflessness, what is God trying to teach you about sacrifice or selflessness? And then what does a life that looks like that look like in the modern day? So one question is more a biblical question of what does it look like in biblical terms? And then how do you apply it? What does a life look like that in the modern day? So I think those are two important questions about your virtues. So again, let's review. So your statement of faith is the foundation of your Christian belief. And so as we build on our statement of faith, the next step is we got to figure out what Christian virtues are that we need to build our life on. And so to determine these virtues, you need to look across scripture. So I would recommend looking at the law, the prophets, and Jesus's teaching and the work of the Holy Spirit in the early church, and trace patterns of virtues that you find throughout scripture. So again, you can look at that at the workbook on the shop. So if you've enjoyed this podcast, please send it along to somebody that you know that might enjoy it. You can also leave a 1 to 2 sentence rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. That really helps others find the show. And I am so excited that you are back here this week. And so I hope you'll join me next week for the next episode. Bye. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. If you haven't yet, please leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts to help others find the show. While you're there, you can like and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Don't forget to check out the blog and our store for more encouragement and resources on how to create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. I'm Casey Fletcher, and I'll see you next week.